listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.
Welcome to the USCA official podcast, and listeners, we have got a bonus episode for you, and it is a brilliant one because I have tracked down the man in charge of the cross-country course at the Maryland Five Star this weekend, none other than Ian Stark. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it, Ian, because I have absolutely no doubt that you are being pulled in a million different directions. You are in the thick of Five Star Week. So we're looking forward to getting your thoughts. First of all, Five Star at Maryland has just kicked off. The first jog has happened. How is everything feeling out there? New Five Star is a big week for US Eventing. Exciting times.
Yeah, it is very exciting. I mean, the atmosphere is pretty good. I went to the riders briefing this morning and most of them attended. Some were already out walking the course, but most of them were there. And I thought the atmosphere was very positive and enthusiastic. And I mean, the effort that's been made by everyone involved is phenomenal. I mean, the park here at Fairhill looks amazing. The work's all done, and really need to see how, you know, what the riders think now. But the people that I've had a look so far like it. And I've managed to get through the walk with Derek DeGrazia, who's here as the assessor for the FEI and for the USEF, I think it is. And so he was happy, and then the TDs were okay, and the grand jury happy. So it's really over to the riders. But the biggest thing over here is the terrain. It's incredibly hilly, and we've got the minimum distance. So you're allowed between 11 and 12 minutes. So we're on exactly 11 minutes, and it's really just for me to get a feel for the terrain and how it's going to affect the horses. What I didn't want to do was put out the longest, toughest track and find that, you know, 7/8 of the horses couldn't complete it because they were exhausted. So it gives me an idea. I've given them quite a lot of combinations, some proper five-star combinations and the odd left-up fence just to sort of keep the confidence and keep them moving. And then because the hills at the end, I've backed off a little bit with the intensity of the height and spreads, just so that hopefully that they can get home. But and you know, I think the riders probably learn a lot about me, and probably I'll learn a lot about the venue by Saturday night. And it might all be positive, but not all positive. But we'll at least learn.
You will. It's always tough, isn't it? You know, when you go into a new venue, obviously Fairhill have held events, but it's a totally new part of the park, and it's your first five star. But also, like you say, you don't really know how the horses are going to tackle the terrain. What's it like as a course designer going in with almost that blank sheet of paper? How long ago did you start planning? Obviously, we've had the year delay anyway, but how long ago did you first sort of put pen to paper and think, okay, this is the dream?
Well, the dream. Now, it might feel like a nightmare at this very moment, but yeah, it was a dream. And it's been about 3.5 years, I think, I've been involved in total. So, it's been a long way to go, and there's been a lot of work done. I think the issue is, and actually various people have come up to me and said, well, you know, not only are you doing your first five-star, but you're doing it on a greenfield site. You know, there's not been another five-star designer or course for me to follow. So it is very much up in the air how the terrain's going to affect the horses. I mean, Fairhill's known for its hills, and people know to get their horses fit because of the stamina. And you know, we've been pushing a lot over the last 2 or 3 years, saying that, you know, they must come here with fit horses. So I think they'll be ready. But the pressure, I have to say, is phenomenal. I always talk about when cross country days, I always talk about the, you know, that Saturday morning feeling in your stomach when you're as a rider, and it doesn't really leave you as a designer until the end of the competition. Then the last horse finishes the cross country. But I have to say, this is the first time it started on a Wednesday of a 3-day event.
I was going to say, I bet it started earlier this time. It's not just Saturday for you.
It's already now, and people are trying to get me to go to lunch. And quite honestly, I don't feel like eating. I'm just, I'm just trying to survive until cross country happens on Saturday. So it's thrilling, but it's terrifying.
It's a whole different sort of fear to the riding part of it, which you were known as one of the best cross country riders. You loved that feeling of pressure going out last for the team and to be able to be, you know, under immense pressure. That's been a position in which you've thrived throughout your whole career. You're actually, when we talk about the hills, you designed the European Championships up at Blair Castle in Scotland. You have done Bramham at the four-star long level for a number of years. Chatsworth, again, I appreciate I'm saying those events within the UK, but they are renowned for being extremely difficult terrain. I imagine that experience, yeah, actually coming to Fairhill, has given you a huge amount of knowledge and confidence as to the type of track that you would be building for that terrain.
Yeah, it certainly helped. I mean, and you know, where I live at home is nothing but hills. So, you know, but if you come from an area of flat terrain and you're preparing on flat ground, and suddenly you come here to Fairhill, you know, it's going to be quite a shock to the system if you haven't done a lot of it, or your horse hasn't done a lot of it. But you know, there will be horses that sail around it, and I have no doubt will go inside the time. But there will be some horses struggling and possibly some riders struggling. So, you know, it's trying to get a proper question on the entire course and get a good result with the top riders, but still make it possible for the others. So from that point of view, I've you know, people can get into a combination. If things go wrong, I've given ways out. You know, they might be out in the course for a few hours rather than you know, hopefully people can get round, whether it depends on their time, whether it's a qualifier result or not. But if it's their first five star, and there are a lot of first five star riders and horses here, so you know, you've got to think about them, but you've got to keep your standards. So it can't be dumbed down.
Ultimately, it's a five-star at the end of the day. You know, it's the pinnacle of the sport.
Exactly, yeah.
And you know, an additional five-star on US soil is a massive, massive boost, I am absolutely sure, into the strength and depth. And it is going to play a really key part in the education of future championship horses for both the US team, but also for some of those other nations that are coming over to be represented. Let me ask you about the time, because you say it's about 11 minutes, which is the minimum for a five-star. Five-star is renowned for being tough to make the time. You know, it is a real stamina test.
Yeah.
It isn't uncommon to have a five-star without anybody going inside that optimum time. How many would you like to see? How many would you expect to see? I think conditions are pretty good. There's a little bit of rain forecast, but otherwise conditions are looking pretty good this week. What would your expectation and hope be?
Yeah, yesterday it said it was going to be 87 degrees here, but it's been kind of overcast the last few days, and I think they dropped that temperature today down to 77. So that is good conditions for the horses. We're top of the ground where they're going. There's one or two areas that feel a little bit hard at the moment, so we're ready with the aggravators and everything if we need to. But in general, it's almost perfect ground conditions. So that, you know, the good ground conditions and the weather should mean that horses can do the time and inside the time. You know, if I've got it wrong and I get 10 inside the time, I'd probably be disappointed. It's maybe 5 more than I would like. But on the other hand, as I've said, I got to find out a bit more about it. I'm not a fan. I know that some people think the time should almost be unobtainable, and you know, that nobody inside the time is probably quite a good thing. But I don't agree with that. I always think it must be attainable, otherwise horses and riders are pushing for the impossible. So in the ideal world, you know, 2 or 3 inside the time would be perfect, but if it was 5 or 6, I could live with it. If there's 15 or 20, I've screwed up big time.
And what about anybody that is tuning in or heading to Maryland over the weekend? What would you say, go and watch that fence, because I feel that it is one of the toughest, one of the most interesting. And what are you looking to achieve from that? What are the really key, exciting ones that you're looking forward to?
You know, obviously, we start fairly easily. Fence three is a double of big tables. Fence four is a sort of on the top of a mound, question down, steep drop, run down to a big ditch with a skinny. And fence five is a double of big boats in the middle of the first water. You know, they're big in height and dimensions. And, you know, so it's kind of, they're into it straight away, I think. By the time they get into the second field, there's quite a serious downhill approach to a coffin fence. And one or two of the riders have already said to me they thought that was quite meaty. But that's immediately followed by another combination of brush fences where it's open distances and technical lines. So, you know, I think the middle field has got that, the two combinations, one after the other, so that'll be interesting for a lot of people to watch. And coming back, there's a slightly easier combination, but they come back to the same field. So there's going to be quite a lot of hospitality units in there. And then they, what they call the sawmill field is the furthest away point, and that's got the main new water. And I think that's quite meaty. They're jumping over a hanging log, which is basically carved and painted to look like a slightly smiling but very scary crab. So it's a massive drop, and then they've got a normally bank out of water. So there's a big dry ditch, but they've got to take off out of water, and it's a big step up to a log, and then three strides to a very skinny brush. You know, so that's probably the toughest fence on the course, I think. And then they go around the corner down the hill, and they've got a big oxer to quite a serious corner, Vicarage V-type corner. So, again, that's a good spectator area. And towards the end, I've backed off, but then we've got they've done a lot of climbing to get home, and they think they're home, and they're not quite home, and there's still more climbing. And then they've got an upright gate with a slight downhill approach to two owls, which are basically keyholes, but they're keyhole corners. So, people haven't heard from the riders yet, but in general, people are saying, well, they haven't seen a keyhole corner before, and so they've got one after the other. And then, you know, then they've got to climb a little bit further before they get a downhill run for home. So, you know, they're having to work quite hard all the way to the finish. Certainly, I've backed off at the last water, which is the second last fence, but it's still two oriole birds, estate birds for Maryland, one in the water and one at the top of a rise out. And you know, tired horses, that could be quite influential. So I've given a long way of a couple of fairly straightforward brush fences, but you know, that in itself is going to add another 10 to 12 seconds. So you know, if they're struggling for the time, you know, they're way, way over by this time.
It sounds like it's going to be a proper test. I can feel my excitement levels rising just thinking about it. Obviously, you probably don't feel like it right now, in so much we've already spoken about the new week-long Saturday morning feeling. But how how much of a sort of an honour and a privilege is it to be able to do your first five-star at Maryland? I know you've designed a lot of courses on US soil. You've been all over the country. A lot of US riders are very familiar with your kind of courses. It's a big, big moment in your career. Have you enjoyed it building up to this point as well? Perhaps not at this very moment in time as everybody's inviting you for lunch, but have you been able to enjoy it as well?
Have I been able to enjoy it? It is an enormous honour and privilege and pleasure to be here in the States, at Fair Hill in Maryland, doing this course. It's been thrilling and exciting for me, and it's what every designer wants, is to come up with their own ideas on a new bit of ground. From that point of view, it's been phenomenal, and I've loved it. I think as you get higher up the ranks, there's more pressure and more demands and more people. And, you know, as I'm a great believer in a committee of one, I hate all that hassle and attention. I like to just get on with my job. So, you know, there's been pressure, but in general, it's what I want to do. And I've loved preparing the ground and the fence. I just hope the riders are happy and or at least have a nice time, or at least enjoy walking it, even if they have a crap time riding it.
We have managed to pin you down at possibly, I imagine, one of the most nerve-wracking points, because the riders are all out there, but no feedback has come back yet. So I've no doubt you're sort of looking, going, right, okay, who's coming around the corner? What are they going to think of it? What, you know, it's out there to the public. We're all going to be seeing pictures of it and looking at it in a lot more detail over the next few days. And it's a really, really exciting time. Ian, best of luck this week. Thank you so much for talking to us. And I would say as well, massive respect, because I think perhaps a lot of people listening to this, and, you know, we go to events all over the country, and whether it be a grassroots event, an amateur event, all the way up to the very, very top level, is these courses are put on and we almost take them a little bit for granted, is that they're just put out in front of us. But the amount of thought, the science, the detail that goes into them is just absolutely extraordinary. And I have no doubt that you will be watching every single moment on Saturday, perhaps through your fingers at times, in so much as just wanting to make sure everybody gets home safely and has a good time. But, you know, huge credit, because it's a massive, massive responsibility and we're very, very grateful for it. So thank you.
Thank you for that. And I have to just say that it's easier for me to sit here and hide and chat to you than it is to go out there. I'm kind of frightened to go and see all the riders now. So,
Go and find Yeah, go and find Tim and Janelle Price first, because they won't tell you it's too tough at all. They'll just tell you if it's not tough enough. So that'll give you a good feeling.
I think whatever I build is probably not going to be tough enough for them.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Ian, good luck this week. And thank you so much. Listeners, we hope you've enjoyed a very, very exclusive, sneaky little insight behind the scenes with Ian Stark, ahead of the Maryland Five Star. Enjoy this week. It's going to be a big one. Ian, I'm going to let you go. No more hiding around the corner talking to me, even though we could pick your brains for hours. And listeners, enjoy what is going to be a brilliant week of eventing.
Thanks for listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.